Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, I'm glad for those of you who are here in this room together. The Bible says where two or three gather in his name, he's in the midst with us. Aren't you glad he's in the midst with us? And wherever you are at home, we're actually gathering with you online together at home today. And so we hope that you're sensing that he's with you there today. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm thankful for our God and that he's a way maker, a light in the darkness. Can somebody say amen to that? Yeah. Well, let me just kind of talk to you for a few moments and say we had some plans. I was getting ready to start on a new message series today that would lead us up to Easter. And you're awesome. Thank you. See, God provides even when you don't ask for it. There it is. But we were getting ready to start on a message series, and this message series was going to be about the story of God, the story of us, who we are, and then ultimately your story. And so we're going to ask you just to start to think about that, start to pray about, like, what is your story as far as the story of God is concerned? What has he done in your life? And this would be a great time for you to remind yourself what God's done for your life already. And maybe even what appeared to be desperate or difficult or impossible circumstances where he has already kept you and shown himself to be a way maker. We'd love to hear some of those stories in the weeks ahead. And so we're going to ask you to share those, and we're going to give you some ways to do that. You'll be able to, again, find that information on the app in the next few days. And so we're going to put a pause on that message series, though, for right now. And I kind of want to speak directly to where we are and what's been going on, and maybe speak from my heart just a little bit more than I had planned to do otherwise. Unless you're kind of in a closet or sleeping under a rock somewhere, it would be impossible for you not to tell that there's a lot of distress and tension, a lot of unrest in the world around us, and particularly when it comes to the coronavirus and how quickly it's spreading and where it's spreading and the possibilities of what's there. Then on top of that, if you take a look at the financial markets, what's happening in the financial markets on the nosedive that we saw take place, and then it went up and then it went back down and then it went back up, and like, where is that gonna land? We're not exactly sure where that'll land. And people are panicking. I mean, honestly, look in the grocery stores and see what's taking place, and like, there's some stuff that's taking place in the grocery stores, and I think that there's some responses to this that maybe we can find a better way to respond. What should we do? What should we do as a people? What should we do as a church? We're going to talk for a few moments here today that there's no way that we cannot be concerned about what's taking place, and there's no way that we can go on with life as usual. Obviously, there's a lot of changes that are taking place. And so, like, how do we respond? Is our only response going to be that we try to find hand sanitizer? Is our response going to be that we try to break into a neighbor's house and steal their toilet paper? Exactly what is our response going to be? Somebody just asked me, should we prepare for the end of the world? Can I just talk about that for a second? How would you prepare for that? You know, I mean, seriously, if you don't know Jesus, that'd be the only way I would say is the best way to prepare for the end of the world. And we're going to advise you to do that regardless. I don't pretend to be an expert about any of this. And needless to say, I don't have some kind of insight or some kind of word. So I don't know exactly where all of this will land and where it's going to go. But I do know this. We are a people of faith. We live according to faith. We don't live according to fear. And regardless of what the circumstances around us look like, regardless of how things change, we have to walk in faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't allow what is taking place around us to completely jurisdict about what's taking place inside of us. And so today, for a few moments, I'm going to talk to you specifically about living our lives from a faith perspective in this environment. Yesterday, I had the opportunity, and I don't talk a lot about this, but I belong to a pastor's group, and there's about 12 of us who belong to this pastor's group and some of the biggest churches in town, and a few churches about our size, and we had a conference call together, and I love this. Let me just tell you, I was so blessed that they had called and said, hey, we'd love to have online a conference call with the pastors in this group to pray together. And so we prayed together yesterday morning for about a half an hour. So it's not just us that's facing this, and we're not facing this alone. The body of Christ is pulling together, and we're encouraging one another and advising one another of how to respond. And so I'm so thankful. And one of the things that while we were talking, one of the things that I said to him, they asked, how is your church going to respond? How have you responded before? And I was like, we're kind of in uncharted territory. Like, this is an uncharted territory, and it could be very disconcerting. It could be disconcerting to all of us when you take a look around us and some of the things that are taking place, that they're canceling sporting events, they're canceling conferences. The city of Orlando is literally losing hundreds of millions of dollars. Concerts are being canceled. Schools are shutting down, and the children are grateful for that. And so maybe parents not so grateful for that. Back when I lived in Pennsylvania, we had snow days. And people were like, well, we'll have hurricane days here. It's just not the same. And so, but the schools are shutting down, many of them, till the end of the month. Travel bans are appearing, and they seem to be getting stronger. Who would have ever thought there would be a day when Mexico would close their border to us, you know? But that's kind of what's taking place. Grocery stores are out of toilet paper and paper towels and any kind of sanitizer. And so then, but in the middle of all of that, how do we respond as individuals? How do we respond as not just a local church, but how do we respond as the church? Do we ignore it? Do we stockpile and hunker down and just pull the blinds and stay kind of closed off from everybody for the next 3 months or 6 months? And so as the church, I feel like there are some things that I'm going to talk about today, and I can't make long-term projections because things could change as the days happen. But I don't have any permanent things, any decisions that I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk to us about our faith, and our faith should be permanent. Many folks that I can see around us, they're panicking. They're just absolutely convinced that we're in crisis, and we are in crisis, but it's not, as far as I'm concerned, as a church and individuals, it's not good for us to project too far into the future because we need to be able to adjust and move according to what's taking place around us, but not our faith to be moved. And so for the next few moments, I'm going to talk about a few things that I've been thinking about this week and maybe how we can respond best. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this scripture a lot. Romans, the 12th chapter and the second verse says this: do not be conformed to the world or the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to the world or the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're obtuse to what's taking place in the world. It means that the world can't decide for us how we think. The world can't decide for us exactly the way we should position ourselves. We, as people of faith, do not live without hope. Amen. We are people that have hope. We're different from the rest of the world. And so today's message, as you can see, I'm going to entitle this message, We're Not Afraid. We're just not afraid. Come, somebody just say it out loud. Those of you who are at home, say it out loud with me. We're not afraid. Come on, one more time, say it together with me if you would. We're not afraid. There are three ways that I want to talk to you real briefly about ways that we're not like the world. We don't think like the world. We shouldn't respond like the world. Here's one of the ways that we shouldn't be like the world. Are you ready? We live by faith and not by fear. We live by faith and not by fear. So there's a not in the sense of not. We're not going to live by fear. I'm just going to ask you to say it out loud because the Bible says sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. We have to speak encouragement to ourselves. So wherever you are, I want you to say out loud with me, if you would, I'm not going to live by fear. Would you say it with me? I'm not going to live by fear. Come on, now you said it, you repeated it with me. Now I want you to say it to yourself. I'm not going to live by fear. When Jesus was comforting his disciples in John the 14th chapter, here's what he said. These are the words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. A little bit further down in that chapter, in verse number 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. I want to read this, if you would, out of the New Living Translation, because I love this translation. It says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace that we have, the peace that we walk in, the world cannot understand. The peace of mind that we're going to walk in the days ahead, the world thinks that it should be unusual, and yes, it should be. We are a peculiar people. We're different from the way the world responds to this, because here's the reason why. We believe that our God is faithful. We believe that he's faithful to his character. We believe that he's faithful to his promises. And we believe that God is in control. My God isn't up in heaven going, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. And he's like, hey, angel Peter, come on, somebody should have told me about what. He knows exactly what's coming down the road. God has a plan. Listen, God's not unprepared for this. He already has a plan, and his plan is good. The Bible says he will not leave us nor forsake us, but he will be with us. For those of you who are in this room, like, we're going to go home to our separate places in a few moments. When you leave this place, he's going to be with you. Your loved ones who might be in another part of the country, he is with them. He's not just a little piece of God here in this room right now and a little piece of God. He is fully God here with us now, and he is fully God with them there. For those of you who are watching online, God is fully right with you right now. All the power of God is right there in that place with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. God is with us. I heard the story years ago of a little boy whose family had Scottish heritage, and they had been planning to take a trip to Scotland, and he was really excited about this because he loved castles, and he loved knights, and he loved swords. And finally, after a long time of saving money, they were getting ready to go, and the dad said to the little boy, are you excited? You're going to get to go to Scotland, the place where all the castles and the knights and the swords are. And the little boy said, no, I don't want to go. And the dad said, like, why don't you want to go? You've been so excited. Why don't you want to go? And he said, because I don't want to go by myself. And somewhere in his mind, he started to think that his parents were sending him to Scotland, the place of castles and knights and swords, by himself. Imagine the fear that he was facing in that. And in the same way, listen, there's nothing that you're going to step into tomorrow. There's nothing you're going to step into this week or next month that God isn't already there, and he's going to go with you every step of the way. God is with you. I think that we have to remind ourselves that the greatest way to overcome fear is to realize that God is with us. The psalmist David said this, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because, somebody say it with me, you are with me. He's with us. And so we don't have to fear. He's working in all things. He's already in control of all things. You might say, like, I just wish, like, God would speak to us and make some sense out of all of this. Listen, he didn't come to explain to us trouble. He didn't come to explain it. Honestly, he didn't even come to eradicate it. He came to make his presence known to us in it. That's his promise, that he's not going to necessarily make all sense out of this for you. He's not going to make sense out of your other problems in your life. And he might not even get rid of all of those problems, but he promises that he's going to be with you in your problems. That's why 2 Timothy, the first chapter, says this, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. We're not timid. We're not going to be intimidated, but of love, of power, and of self-discipline or of self-control. So listen, we have to walk in faith, not in fear. there are some other things, and let me just tell you, there's so many things that are out there, and there's some ways that the world is responding, and the world seems to be just completely panicked about this. We can't afford to respond the way they do. We're the people of God. We respond differently. So we respond in faith. The second thing that I'm going to challenge you to do is we're sacrificial, not selfish. We're sacrificial, not selfish. Somebody say, we're not selfish. About half of you responded to that, like, we're not afraid. We're not selfish. Yeah, here we go. Don't be selfish. Here's what it says in the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. During the early church, they faced extreme circumstances. They faced extreme persecution. They faced the possibility of losing their life for their faith. And yet, they didn't hoard up all the stuff in the community for themselves. I've been amazed to see what's been taking place. They weren't rushing down to the Jesus or the Jerusalem Walmart and buying up everything, buying up all the grains and the oil. Can I just talk to this for a second? Yesterday I went to the grocery store and I had made my mind up, like, I keep groceries in my house, but I needed some stuff. And so I went to the grocery store and I made my mind up. I was going to buy what I needed to buy and not react in fear. So I went and I bought 4 pieces of salmon, which is what I normally buy. And I bought some vegetables, what vegetables I could, and then I bought 110 pounds of rice. Now, can I tell you, honestly, can I just speak some real wisdom here for a few moments and just ask you to think about this? You do know that they're going to restock the shelves. There actually is more toilet paper coming. Not that you're going to need it, because you already have 400 rolls of it. You know. So if I could just talk to you about this for a few moments, let's not live in panic like the rest of the world does. I read this story yesterday on the internet, and I was really blessed by this. And it was just yesterday I read this. It was a young man who was posting something that had happened to him. That he was standing in a checkout line, and an elderly man came in, and he was on a walker. And he came in, and he wandered around for a couple of minutes and came up to the register where this young boy was. And he said, is there any toilet paper left? And he said, my wife is out in the car. Like, we're really in a place where we can't get out easily. Is there any toilet paper left? And the clerk looked at him and said, no. And he said that the guy actually, like, teared up in his eyes that there was no supplies for him. And he said, he started to walk out, and he said, my heart was just touched. And so I said to him, sir, if you'll give me your address, I'll bring some to your house. He said he went through about 6 stores, and finally he could find at least a couple of rolls of toilet paper, and he drove it to that man's house. And let me just tell you, somewhere in this, and I'm just saying it to you, and I know they're telling us that, like, we have to sequester ourselves and stay at a distance from each other, but the truth is we still can't lose our humanity. We still can't lose compassion for one another. And if there's places where you can help someone, please consider helping someone. It's been suggested, and I'm just going to put it out there, it's been suggested that if there are any children that you know of that need groceries, because there's parents that are going to be, might have to go to work, or there's children that would have normally been fed at school that won't be receiving food. If you know of a family like that, will you please call us? And we may be contacting you as a congregation and saying, hey, we need some boxes of groceries. We need some help to help some folks who are in dire need. But the Bible says, how could we call ourselves Christians if we shut up our bowels of compassion, if we stop being compassionate? It's the thing that makes us who we are. Here's what it says in Acts, the second chapter and the 44th verse, that the believers were together, and listen, they were being persecuted, but the Bible says They were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another. Every day they continued to meet together, and I know that there's some limitations of what we can do, but please stay in touch with each other. Please contact each other. There's Facebook. There are telephones. Hey, this might be a great time for you to write a letter that you've been needing to write to somebody and communicate with them, but stay connected to each other. But they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in homes. They ate together with glad hearts and sincere hearts. I don't know where this is going to land for us as far as ongoing church services. We're going to, like I said, we're going to take it a day at a time. They gathered together. It's my intention, as best as possible, at least on weekends, for us to gather together. And again, we don't know what that's going to look like, but if you're able to be with us and we're having service, thank you for coming out. If not, please watch and be a part of it online. We're not going to force anybody. We're not going to condemn anybody. In fact, we're thankful that anybody is watching. And so, of all things, here's the deal is don't stop worshiping. Don't stop finding the presence of God. Don't stop telling yourself of the great things that he's done. Continue to praise him, and in opportunities where you can be generous to others. And because here's one of the things that I know, that there are people that are looking for hope in this day. They're looking for somebody that can really reflect what Christ looks like. They continued, the Bible says, they continued in the New Testament church to be generous. I'll take just a side here, and can I tell you one of the things that I know? God loves generosity. He blesses generosity. And this is not a political statement about any politics or any political parties or anything, but let me just tell you, the fundamental reason why I couldn't buy into socialism is because socialism takes away the opportunity for generosity. It doesn't give me the opportunity to give to you. It takes from me. And so in that, I don't have the opportunity to be blessed by God. Honestly, I don't have the opportunity to be blessed by God, so I can give to you, and God honors when that's in our hearts. So I'm just going to challenge you. Be generous with one another. Here's my last one. Are you ready? We're the light. We're the light of this world, and we can't afford to hide who we are. Here's what Matthew, the 5th chapter, says in 14th verse. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone who is in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God which is in heaven. I don't think it's by any chance that for the last month, our church has been talking about how to face fear, how to face depression, how to face anxiety, how to face anger. I don't think it's by chance that we've been in this place, and I actually believe that God, listen, I absolutely, and these are words I don't use very much, but I believe God has been prophetically speaking to this congregation, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself so that when difficulty comes, you're not going to slide into depression, that you're not going to be filled with fear or filled with anxiety. Get ready so that you don't respond in anger, because there's a day that's coming in your life where it's going to, that could be a possibility. And so here's what he's been saying to us. Be different from the world. Be different from the world in the way that you respond. And so I believe God's been preparing you, and he's been preparing me, and he's been preparing our church. In the moments of darkness, the world needs the church to be at its best. The world needs for us to reflect the best of our character and the best of our experience. So during this season, during this time when people are afraid and unsettled, when they're anxious, they're looking for hope. And let me just tell you, they're hoping that what you've been talking about, the hope that you have, they're hoping that it's real. They're hoping that what you have is different from what they have. And so in these moments, we look to God and we trust him. In these moments, like, we're agents of hope, we're light shiners, we're love givers. I'm praying that love will grow greater in this church and in the Christian community even faster than a virus could. I'm praying that God will demonstrate himself through us and that we'll show hope to the world around us. In the next few moments, I'm going to prepare us. I'd like for us to start, if we believe in God and we believe that he does awesome things, we're going to spend some time in prayer. If somebody would find Sean for me and ask him to come back. There are a few things that I do want to say to you. Just, where is he? He was right there. Yeah. If he were taller, I'd be able to see him better. When the birth of Jesus was announced, this is the beginning of the story of Jesus on this earth to us. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Do not be afraid." There are some other not scriptures, I've been saying, we do not live by fear. We don't live in a place where we hoard up. Instead, we sacrifice and serve others. We don't hide our light. Instead, we shine our light. The Bible says these scriptures, and I want you to just hear them today. We do not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That the Bible tells us that the enemy cannot overtake us, but Christ has overcome the world and he has made us victorious. Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow because each day has its own stuff to worry about. So take care of today and do what you're supposed to do today." I said this one already. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. Another scripture says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind." Jesus himself, when he was praying, he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." The Bible tells us over and over again that we don't set our sight on earthly things. Can I just tell you for a few moments? Stop setting your sights on social media. Stop setting your sights on people around you. I'm going to tell you, on some level, it'd be a good idea to shut the news off some. There are some folks, and I have to tell you, I think you're just allowing yourself to be, and I think it's good to have news. But you have to be careful that you're not watching it so much that it's overwhelming you. Oh, did the number go from 2? Oh, it's 3. Oh, is it 3? I'm going to watch here and watch this and let myself be completely absorbed in that moment until it maybe turns to 4. Let me just tell you, spend some time in prayer. Get away from that. Do something valuable. Nourish your soul. Put some spirit down inside of you. Strengthen yourself and encourage yourself. And then, after you're kind of in a good spiritual place, turn the news back on, and you'll be ready to deal with whatever is on the news. So allow yourself to be built up in your holy faith. The Bible says we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but we're in a different kind of a war. And so we don't shrink back. We don't turn back. We walk by faith. And the Bible also says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. He will keep his promises. God is a faithful God, and he'll be a helper to us. Well, last scripture I'm going to read to you. We've been talking about this one for several weeks. And again, I feel like the Lord's been speaking to us, and so I'm back here to remind you. This is what he's been saying. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about the coronavirus. Anybody listening to me today? Do not be anxious. There's not an exception. There's not an asterisk there, except in the year 2020. Do not be anxious about anything, which means if he's telling us not to do it, it means it's possible for us not to do it. Do not be anxious about anything, and then he gives us some instructions about it. But in everything, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. And when you do that, are you ready? The peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're different from this world. We don't think like the world We don't act like the world does. We don't walk like the world does. We sacrifice in a different way. We live differently. We don't hide our light. In fact, in these moments, we allow our light to shine all the more. In these next few moments, we're going to spend some time and we're going to pray. As I said earlier, the president has called this to be a national day of prayer. So we're going to gather for these next few moments, our hearts together, to pray before the Lord. We're going to call on him. And let me just tell you, this is going to be an extended time of prayer. And so I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to call some subjects out and we're going to pray over those subjects as we pray.